Well, when I first read this, I thought, well, that's nice. You know, Paul's writing to Timothy, and they're, you know, talking about how things should be. And I thought, you know, yeah, we definitely need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for those folks who are in charge, because when they mess up, things certainly do get unpleasant sometimes. And back then, in those days, Caesar had the power to lop people's heads off and do stuff like that. And boy, when they got unhappy, things got really unpleasant. But then I began to look and see that this wasn't just about praying for our leaders. It said something that really touched me. So that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow. I didn't hardly even see that the first time. I was just looking at, we need to pray for our leaders, because if they mess up, things are going to get hairy. We have a right. We have a need. We have a promise of a peaceable, quiet life in Christ. How does that sound to you? I heard a story, which I hadn't even thought about sharing today as part of the sermon, but I want to share it to you because I thought it was kind of right on. There was a politician who made it to the gates of heaven. And St. Peter said, "Excuse me, but we really don't quite know what to do with you." And so he said, "Tell you what, since we don't know what to do with you, we're going to let you have a day in heaven and a day in hell, and then you can decide." So the politician goes down to hell, and they're having a good time. They're out playing golf. They're sitting around the country club drinking and having fun and, you know, talking trash about everybody. And all of his friends are there, all the people he knew from being a politician. And he says, "Well, this isn't so bad. I thought hell was, you know, awful." And so he goes on up to heaven, and people are floating around on clouds, and they're playing harps, and the angels are flying by, and there's really not a whole lot going on. And the politician says, "You know, I'm down there with all my friends, and there's all kinds of fun stuff to do. I think I'll go to hell." And so he gets down there, and my goodness, things are terrible. There's smoke and ash, and it's hot, and garbage is falling down out of the sky, and all of his friends are, you know, suffering and picking up garbage, and the more garbage they pick up, the more falls on them, and there's the devil. And the politician runs over and says, "Excuse me, sir, but I thought we were having a good time. I thought this was like a country club. What happened?" He says, "You voted." "We were campaigning, now you voted."
Another deceptive tactic.
Yeah. Funny how that works, isn't it? When we're in the world, we have a tendency to want excitement. We're in the world, we want to be entertained. When we're in the world, we want to do fun stuff. When we're in the world, we want a lively existence. We want wild and crazy stuff. At least I did. In my worldly existence, I was a wild and crazy guy. Extremes were what you aimed for. If I can get high, maybe I can get higher. If I can, you know, go fast, maybe I can go faster. If I can do work, maybe I can work harder. And everything just had to be bigger and more and faster and harder and never enough. And then I became a Christian. I gave my life back to Christ. I stopped living for me and started living for Him. And suddenly I began to find that I could have peace in whatever I had. I could be satisfied wherever I was. I could find joy in whatever I did. No matter how much or how little, it was always enough, or could be. My struggles became struggles not to see how much I could do, but to see how much I could let go and let God. And I began to realize as I was rereading the scripture that that's kind of what it's all about. I spent the last 2 days doing training to teach trauma release exercises for clients who have been through traumatic experience to help them release that, to release the tension, to release the stuff that we tend to build up and hold on to and bottle up inside of us that makes us sometimes go a little crazy and blow up and do things that aren't healthy. And I couldn't help but chuckle to myself as we were doing some of our training because so many of the things that they talked about I could put in context of my relationship with God and the teachings that I see in Scripture and the kind of life we live as Christians, where just as the song says, I'm joyful in my weakness because God is strength, and I'm joyful in my poverty because God gives me riches of the Spirit, and I can see things not the way the world sees them and feel loss and want, but to see things the way God sees them and realize how rich my life is and how full it is. So that the things that were horrible before become opportunities for ministry. The things that were struggles before become opportunities to help other people. The things that were weaknesses before become opportunities to show what God can do through me who can't do this by himself. It's in that moment when we realize that we can't do something that we have to make a decision. To push harder, to try more, to go until we hurt ourselves, somebody else, our family, or people around us, or to stop and say, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't working. I must be doing something wrong here. Hey, God, can you help me? And when we give that up to him, there is this peace that comes. Nothing's changed. I've still got problems. My family still has troubles. People still die. It still hurts. The world is still full of terrible things and terrible possibilities, and some of them will probably come to pass. Who knows which ones? I don't. He does. But when I come to the point where I don't know what to do anymore, where I come to the point where I can't do it anymore, when I come to the point where it's just not working for me and I am miserable, miserable, all I have to do is say, I can't do this. God, here, take this. And there's that moment of peace. I can't fix other people's troubles. I can share with them some of what I've learned through my relationship with God. He's fixed my troubles. Maybe he'll fix yours. I can't help other people because when you're there with your hand out, sometimes they want to bite you. But I can offer Christ. And when I stop trying to do it myself and start letting him do what he needs to do and letting them do what they need to do, which is to get right with him, rather than expecting me to fix it, then something good starts to happen. I look around myself and I look at the people who live peaceful, what's it say here? Quiet and peaceable life in godliness and dignity. And I see them as having that relationship where, yeah, they still got troubles. Yeah, they still have to suffer. Yeah, they still have family members that pass away and don't do right and cause them pain. But they have that peaceful, quiet dignity that lets me know that there is someone in their life that they can give it to. So if I have to carry all that stuff around on my shoulders, everything I've ever done, and even the things I don't remember that I've done, and even the things that people did to me when I was so little I don't, you know, if I have to carry all that stuff around, it's going to squash me like a bug. It's more than I can stand. It's more than I can deal with. It's more than I can ever imagine how to handle. It's only in God's forgiveness. It's only in that knowledge of the truth of Christ that I begin to be able to stand up straight and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this life. Thank you for this peace. Thank you for these troubles even that give me the opportunity to share your truth and share your love and share your peace that I have found with others who are suffering. Because I can't share a peace with others who are suffering unless I have suffered. And I can't share the strength that God gives to me unless I have found myself too weak to go on, and I cannot share the joy of being in His world without the horror of being in this world without Him. It's only because I have been horrible, been suffering, been hurting, been lost, been alone, been hopeless, that I can work with people who are experiencing that and tell them, wait, there is hope, there is opportunity, you can change, there is love, there is the possibility of living a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. You can be that person, if you will just give that stuff to God. But just about the time that we think we're doing good and we're giving it to God and we're doing, you know, and we're starting to get it together and we're having a good time and we're, you know, a little bit affluent and we start saying, me. Uh-oh. Here it comes again. I done took on some responsibility, some job, something that I said, I can do that, and forgot to say, with His help. We hear often quoted the scripture that says, I can do all things through He who strengthens me. And that tends to stick in our head as I can do all things. Or God doesn't put on us more than we can handle. But then we forget the next verse, which says, He gives us a way. Not our way, His way. Not our strength, His strength. Not our peace, His peace. Not our wisdom, not my wisdom, His wisdom. It's in that moment that we can truly understand that He is in the world, because when we let it go, He takes it on. If He wasn't there, we couldn't let it go. It wouldn't go anywhere. It does go somewhere. He's promised He would be there. He's promised He would take that on. He's promised He would help us along. He's promised He would fill the gap. Send His Son to be our intercessor. Send His Son to make that bridge between God and man. Send His Son to hold line. Hold fort. Hold bridge. So that we might be able to do with Him what we could never do without Him. I don't know what each of you is going through in your lives. But I know that in my life, whenever I get to that point where things are not going well, that's God's message to me. That's that direct email from God going, duh. You can't do this by yourself. I'm here. I'm waiting for you to give it to me. Why do you have to slog along in the mud when if you just reach out your hand, I'd carry you up to the sky? You like it down there? You having fun? Oh yeah, I'm doing great. I'm not getting anywhere, but I'm doing great. I call it running in peanut butter. That feeling like, yeah, just getting out of bed is too much to handle. We've all been there. The world overwhelms us. We don't know what to do. Everything we do seems to fall apart. Everything we touch seems to blow up in our hands. Everything we, you know, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms and die. You remember that one? Little kid song. We feel that way. Because we have forgotten the other half. Through God who strengthens me. If I will follow His path. When I give Him my troubles. Then I can do anything. Because He can do anything. But we don't want to do that. We want to live in the mud. We want to do it ourselves. Got little kids at home? Or little grandkids at home? You want to go help them? No, I'm going to do it myself. And you're going, okay, I hope he doesn't lop his finger off there or burn himself or, you know, that's going to hurt. But you let him try, right? You let him see that there's a reason why I offered to help you. He does the same thing to us. He lets us see that there's a reason why He offers to be there for us. There's a reason why He has to send His Son. There's a reason why He gives us His strength. Because we ain't got none. Not enough, anyway. He's here for us. He's waiting for us. He's listening for us. Because no matter how much He loves us and no matter how much He wants to help, until we're willing to ask, reach out, open up, give up, surrender our struggles to Him, He can't take them. We hold on way too tight. God loves us the way you love your grandkids, the way you love the things that are most precious in your life, the way you love your family. And He wants to be there for us, and He wants to take care of it, and He wants to fix it, and He wants to do better. But He also knows if He doesn't give us challenges, we will never grow or get stronger. If He doesn't give us troubles, we'll never be able to overcome anything. If He doesn't give us opportunities, which we often call problems, we'll never learn how to solve things. And if we don't know how to do that, then we can't share with others how to do that. And so the world is full of tough stuff. It's there for us so that we can overcome it. Not by ourselves, but with His help. So that we can learn to reach out. So that we can learn to accept. So that we can learn to surrender to His will. And know the truth. That Christ died for us. That God loves us. and that he's here, and he's waiting, and he will. Look at your life. When it's the worst, it's when you have the opportunity to learn the most about how he can help us through our troubles. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.